Well, good morning. I want to start off, I want to ask you all a question, and I want you to be honest with me. When we read verses like this, like verses 1 and 2, where there's sort of historical information, you know, where these kind of genealogies, where there's, you know, this person begot that person begot that person, or these census, where they're saying 10,000 from this tribe, 12,000 from this tribe. How many of us just kind of yada, yada, yada that, skip on past it and get, all right, yeah, okay. Well, me too. Especially when the book of Numbers, I skip over that entire book sometimes. But we can't do that, especially here. A lot of times we see where this information is being given. It's setting the theme for the passage. And here in Luke, Luke is using this. He's giving us these names of all of these individuals that are ruling or governing in Israel in some sort of capacity to really elucidate how God's word is so powerful. And so you see here, all of these guys, all of these individuals, they are, there's a history behind them. There's all kinds of drama surrounding them. This is sort of a real life Sopranos, sort of Game of Thrones sort of situation, Godfather situation. It's just a bad situation with all of these individuals. They're all tied to one another in some form or fashion. My grandmother would say, you know what, this is just a hot mess going on in Israel. But the thing is that, well, as it says here, well, you got all these individuals, and I like how Luke, he puts it before he even gets passed into the third verse, and right after he mentions that Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests, he says that the word of God came to John. Now, that's a very powerful statement. Despite all of these individuals that are ruling in Israel, he says the word of God came to John. But another thing, despite these five rulers, there were two high priests. Did that kind of seem a bit unfamiliar? I mean, there was never two high priests. That just goes to show you the state of affairs in Israel at that time. There was always just one high priest. And so it's kind of like, I look at this and I see all of these different people ruling and governing, and I see this high priesthood that is just in shambles. And to me, it's, does anyone in here play chess? Any chess players? Okay. This, to me, this seems like a chessboard where Satan is positioning all of his pieces and trying to position himself to circumvent the coming of the Messiah. You see, this is the objective in the game of chess. You want to get into position to capture your opponent's king. And to me, this is what Satan is trying to do. He's got his hands in every facet of Israelite life, rulers that are just all over the place. And even in the high priesthood, he's asserted his hand in the high priesthood, trying to control even their religious institution. But the thing is, it's of no effect. It's inconsequential, because we see here, it says, right even before he even goes into the third verse, he says, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah. And it's as if, you know, reading this, you got to look at this in the context of how it must have been for them at that time. They knew who these individuals were. This Caesar, the governor, these tetrarchs. And so with each naming, each name, it was like this sort of tension being built up. And so you can imagine this sort of, you know, you're reading this and you're like, oh no, and this guy, oh no, and this guy, oh no. But then the word of God comes to John and you just breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, the thing is that the powerful thing about this verse is that, well, despite all of these obstacles, despite all of these individuals that would have posed a threat to John, or to Christ coming in his ministry, we see that when John steps on the scene, there's no mention of him ever having to negotiate with any of them. There's no mention of him ever having to go out and to ask permission from this guy or to ask permission from that guy. When John came out, it was as if the entire board just cleared. This was his job. This was his mission, was to pave the way for the coming of the Messiah. And so when he comes out onto the scene, it's all of these individuals, they're of no relevance. He just comes and he starts preaching the word of God. And it says that he came preaching this message of baptism for repentance. And so when we read this, when we read that, well, the word of God came to John, we say, of course it did. That's what happens. The word of God comes to someone and they go preach and something good happens or something bad. But what you need to understand is that, well, for Israel, it had been almost 500 years since the word of God had come to anyone. The last prophet in Israel was the prophet Malachi, and that was around 450 B.C. And right now we're in about 29, 30 A.D. So about 500 years since the word of God had come to anyone. And understanding how it must have been in Israel at that time, they're having all of these strange rulers governing over them. You know, the Caesar, these tetrarchs, these governors, you know, they have all of these religious factions that are springing up. These Hasmoneans, the Zealots, these Sadducees, these Pharisees, everyone is asserting their interpretation of Scripture. You have tax collectors. Not only are they paying taxes to the temple, but they're having to pay taxes to Caesar. You have these Roman soldiers that at every turn they're looking to exploit you. And so understand that when John comes out of the wilderness and begins to preach wearing camel skins, eating wild locusts, to us, that's a crazy person. I don't think that we would feel comfortable with someone like that walking in here and sitting down. But understand, for Israel, this was very indicative of a prophet. This is what a prophet would wear. So when John came out bearing the symbol of a prophet, they knew what this meant. And so imagine the type of excitement that this caused. Everyone came out to see John, to hear what he had to say. Even the Romans came out to hear what he had to say. Now, the difference between then and now is that, well, we're not waiting on a prophet to come and to give us a message. We're not waiting on someone to come out of the woodline, out of the wilderness, to tell us what we need to do or where we need to go. If you've accepted Christ in your life, you've received the Spirit, then you have the living Word dwelling within you. The only difference is that we just need to listen as God speaks to us. And I believe he speaks to us on a daily basis. And I'm not saying that we're waiting for God to tell someone to go out here and part the Puget and all of us midway is going to cross over to Vashon Island or whatever's over there. What is it? But God is putting stuff on our hearts that on a daily basis we can do, that we ignore, things that we feel are insignificant but are huge. Perhaps God is waking you up at 3:30 in the morning and you're just sitting there rolling over in bed trying to get back to sleep. But perhaps God is telling you to get up and pray. Pray for this world. Perhaps when you're driving in traffic and someone is cutting you off, or you see someone cutting someone else off and you're waving at them the finger, perhaps God is telling you to pray for that person. Perhaps when he's saying, hey, putting it on your heart to go and say hello to someone, instead of saying, hello, how you doing? Saying, hello, how are you doing? You know, taking the time with them to really understand how their life is going, devoting that time to them. And if there's something that you can do, do it. If you can pray for them, pray for them. You know, going to someone that you don't even know and just, you know, God, put it on my heart to come and pray for you. You know, I understand. You know, I just don't know how. I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know when. I don't know why. I can't do this. I understand. I want to talk to you a moment about something that's kind of personal to all of us here. You know, I've been at Midway here for about 2 years now, and this is my home. And some of you have been here just a little longer, just a little bit. But I love being here because we have such a rich history here at this church. I love hearing about all the good old times and all the different people that have come and gone. And talking about Midway when I go out and I'm around other Midway, other covenant members, and I say, yeah, I'm from Midway. And they say, oh, is such and such still there? Is such and such still there? You know, that's just a wonderful thing. I remember not too long ago, I was looking in our photo album. I saw a picture of John Geddes and Pastor Gary. They were just sitting, they had the biggest smiles on their face, just having a good old time. And they looked just a little bit less wiser than they do today, but they were having a good time all together. You're welcome. I knew you was going to do that. But at the same time, we have pain here as well. We've had some hard times here at Midway. I'm talking about this split that occurred maybe, 9 or 10 years ago. We've talked about it in our group discussions. We've talked about it one-on-one. And a lot of the things that I hear are that this was, you know, it's a very painful time for us. That we've never quite healed from it. And even to this day, it's still a hindrance to us in our ministry and in our growth. A couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to do some fellowshipping with other covenant members, other covenant ministers. And I heard this story about this church that had been around for so long, Covenant Church. And they said they'd held their last service. They closed their doors. That was just, you know, I think the words that were used was that this church had failed. You know, and I'm like, well, the church can't fail. Perhaps that particular ministry with those particular people in that particular location ceased for the moment, but the church can't fail. But a lot of the situations that were surrounding that closure were kind of stuff that I've heard here, and I've heard people here talk about the prospect of one day closing our own doors. And that is, you know, just coming back and just taking in a personal assessment of you know, what I've seen and how I feel here. You know, I just had to go to prayer in this. But I want to stand here today, and I want to tell you honestly, that I'm very encouraged. I am excited right now. This is a very exciting time. I don't know if you've heard anything lately, if you've been hearing rumors or if you've been seeing some things lately here at Midway. I don't know if you've felt a little different just this past couple of weeks or so. But I want to tell you that the Spirit of God is moving here. The Spirit of God has been moving here, and there are some of us who've been a part of that. There's some of us who've seen that. And the thing is, I want to tell you, is that we're not just sitting here having service on Sunday. We're not just coming here fellowshipping together. We're doing more than that. God, He has a specific task for this church. He has a specific purpose for this church, a ministry for this church. And I believe in all of my heart that we're going to meet that objective, that we're going to accomplish that task, because I believe that it all comes down to a decision. We're going to have to decide. Just as John, and I like how Luke, he puts this, it says that before he even gets out of saying that who these high priests were, he says, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He gives this brief description of who it came to, where it came to him from. And then immediately in the third verse, he goes right into saying, John went. You see, there was no dilly-dallying. There was no pontificating. He wasn't pondering what he had to do. He wasn't, didn't pull a Jonah. As the word of God came to John, he got up and he went. And this is basically what he set the example for all of us. As we receive the word of God, as God is speaking to you, no matter what it is, you have a decision. Either we're going to stand on that word and we're going to go, or we're going to sit down and we're going to close our doors. You see, and I really, I do, I understand. It's too much. I don't have the time. I have family issues. I have financial constraints. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to do it. I don't know. I think, though, that if you look around you, if you look to the left, you look to the right of you, you'll see not only just people you know, you'll see believers. You'll see some believers that have been walking with Christ, that have been praying for over half a century. You'll see some people, despite growing up in a post-secular society, that they're having the courage to stand on the Word of God. I think you'll see some believers that when everyone else wrote them off as dead, they crawled back into God's arms. And they're standing here today, ministering to people. I think that when you look around you, you'll see the body of Christ. And let me tell you, that is a very formidable force to be working with. You see, I believe that when you don't know how to do it, when you don't know where to go, I believe that if you look around, you'll see somebody that is willing to go the distance with you, that is willing to stand with you, that, you know, God is telling me, you know, I got to go pray for this person, but I don't know, maybe they're going to curse me out, or I don't, will you come with me? I believe you'll see somebody here that is willing to go with you and get cursed out with you. I believe that in standing with one another, we can accomplish our mission. We can accomplish our objective. You see, the best part about this passage here is when it says that when John, he went out into the wilderness, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, it says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked shall be made straight, the rough will be made smooth. You see, when John came and he stood on this word of God, he stood and he went to accomplish what God called him to do, you see this complete reversal of affairs. All of these individuals, all of these people that stood in his way, all of these obstacles were of no consequence. They were a figment of his imagination, of our imagination, because when he came, there was no talking about where this person came against him or that person that came against. No, we see this complete reversal of affairs. God said that I will open a door that no man will shut and shut a door that no man will open. And all of these obstacles that we have in our lives, all of these issues, all of these constraints that we feel are hindering us from accomplishing our objective, when we stand on what God is telling us to do, all of that, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. We see God, this is God's fight, and he is paving the way for this to happen. When it says that John, he goes out and all these, this reversal of affairs, the last verse in verse 6, he says, and all people will see God's salvation. That is our mission. That is the parting words of Christ as he ascended. He told his disciples, go out and preach to all the nations until the end of the earth. And here we see that coming to fruition. Before it even happened, before he even gave the commission, we see here it being prophesied that it's going to happen. So it's not a matter of us succeeding. We see here that it's already been predicted that we're going to succeed. We just have to decide to go with God. Because he's not waiting for us. He's not going to wait for us. He's going to go. This is going to happen. We have to decide either we're going to sit down and close our doors or we're going to go with God. We're going to stand on this word as he talks to us, as he speaks to us. No matter what it is. For some of us, it's just a matter of praying. Praying for those that we care about, speaking to those that we don't know. Perhaps you've been on, seen someone pass by you for however many years, and today you decide, you know what, God is putting it on my heart to come and speak to you. How are you doing? Can I pray for you? I believe that once we begin to stand on the Word of God and walk with him, listen to him, we're going to make mountains move. This is a very exciting time for me. I'm very happy to be here. We got a pastor, Pastor David. He's going to lead the way. Pray for him. Pray for his family. Satan's always going to attack the top. Our worship team, they're going to light a fire up under us. So when Satan attacks us, he's going to be filling us with his spirit, pushing us to go and to accomplish this mission. I'm just going to stay out of the way. I'm excited just to be a part of this. But we got a lot to do, and I think that we're going to accomplish this. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. I pray your spirit upon us. I pray you encourage us during this time. I pray that you just be with us, Father. Strengthen us in all of our daily tasks, that your light and your glory will be shown in us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.